Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Thursday, December 21, 2017. Yes, we are 4 days away from my favorite holiday of the year. Christmas is right around the corner. Happy holidays to you and yours. Again, you are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here live on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Boy, oh boy, do we have an incredibly entertaining hour of sports talk ahead for you all. On today's current sports, we're going to actually begin things a bit teary-eyed, if you will. I don't know how many of you saw the NBA TV players-only special centered on Lansing's own Irvin Magic Johnson and former Detroit Piston guard, in my opinion, the greatest Detroit Pistons player in the history of the franchise, Isaiah Zeke Thomas. Well, the beef between Magic and Isaiah has been well documented. I mean, these were two cats who were the best of friends back during their playing days. But things ended a bit sour after Magic came out with his announcement that he had been diagnosed with the HIV virus. We'll go through the beef. I'll give you a little background and context concerning the Magic and Isaiah special, which culminated with a very emotional apology from Magic Johnson. And we're going to have a broader discussion when it comes to beefs in the basketball world, because there is also another local basketball beef that I do want to touch on. And it also is going to relate somehow, some way to your opportunity. That's right, our current sports listeners, the opportunity to win two tickets to check out tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans will play host to Long Beach State. If you want a pair of those tickets, again, you guys know that we make you earn them here on WKAR's current sports. Find out how you can win those tickets in a pretty creative way in just a moment. We'll also highlight the Pistons' loss to the lowly, and I do mean lowly, Dallas Mavericks last night. What in the world happened there? And you guys know we've been talking heavy Spartan sports throughout the week here on our airwaves, and we are going to continue that around the 1:30 mark. In segment B, we will welcome our guest for today's current sports, that being Ryan Cole, sports director for Impact Sports. This is actually the first time that Ryan has been a part of our airwaves. We've had a few of his colleagues on the show, many of them actually here on current sports. But Ryan has been working hard throughout the Christmas break so far, and he'll be talking some Michigan State football signing day with us. We'll get his takes on the newest class for Mark D'Antonio's team. We'll also get his thoughts on Washington State and Michigan State in the Holiday Bowl, and he'll provide a brief preview on tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game, again, against Long Beach State. And then on the back end of the show, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you, where we hop into our current sports time machine each and every Thursday and take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. A lot to get to when it comes to Throwback Thursday, so you don't want to miss that. We'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you to be a part of our airwaves. Just pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. I see a few of you already are watching
via the live stream at facebook.com/currentsports and commenting below the video. I'll be getting to your comments later on this hour. And you can also tweet us two ways. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. All right, engineer Ian Hawley, let's hit him with our current sports quick hit headliners. And we begin with Michigan State football news. Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio, he announced Wednesday that defensive end Robert Bowers is no longer with the Michigan State football program. Bowers' name was not on the Spartans' Holiday Bowl roster, which was released yesterday. After signing day, Mark D'Antonio fielded questions in preview of the Holiday Bowl. And when asked about the absence of Bowers, D'Antonio said the junior defensive end has not been with the team since the loss to Ohio State back on November 11th. Now, D'Antonio did not get into specifics, but said Bowers was, quote, separated from the team, end quote, and no longer with the Spartans. Meanwhile, two other Spartans who weren't major contributors this season won't be making the trip to San Diego for Michigan State's appearance in the Holiday Bowl against Washington State. D'Antonio said that freshman defensive end LaShawn Paulino Bell and redshirt freshman safety Austin Andrews have been suspended and won't go with the team when it leaves for California tomorrow. D'Antonio did say why they were, well, I should say didn't say why they were suspended, but he did say it was not related to academics. All right, we'll have more on the Holiday Bowl later on this hour. Again, Ryan Cole, sports director at Impact Sports, will join me around 1:30 p.m. Don't miss that chat. Michigan State men's basketball will play its final game before the Christmas holiday tonight, hosting Long Beach State at the Breslin Center. Tip-off slated for 7 p.m. The game will be shown live on Big Ten Student U, so you can't watch it on the Big Ten Network, and you have to have a paid subscription to Big Ten Student U if you want to check out that game. Michigan State ranked number 2 in the country by the Associated Press and the USA Today Coaches Poll, enters the game with an 11-1 overall record following a 107-62 win over Houston Baptist, not even close on Monday. The team's 10th straight win, the Spartans hit nearly 65% of their field goals, and the 107 points were the fourth highest under head coach Tom Izzo. It was the most points scored by an MSU team since 110 against Nebraska Omaha in December of 2011. All right, with just 2 non-conference games remaining for the University of Michigan men's basketball team, which sits at 10-3, 1-1 in Big Ten play, as the Wolverines will host Alabama A&M. Alabama A&M, get this, 0-11. Yeah, they're not that great. In the week's lone matchup for the Wolverines tonight at Chrysler Center in a pre-holiday game, tip time scheduled for 9 p.m., and the game can be viewed on ESPNU. Over his last 4 games, U of M sixth man Xavier Simpson has posted 3 double-figure scoring games, including a career-best 15 against UCLA. During his stretch, he has shot 17 for 27 from the field. That is 62.9% and 5 for 5 from deep. You can also check out the Michigan State women's basketball team in action tonight. Michigan State will conclude the non-conference season at the New Orleans Shootout, home of course, our former engineer Isaac Constance. How about that? Against number 22 and number 19, South Florida and Mississippi Valley State. Those two games will take place again tonight against South Florida and tomorrow against Mississippi Valley State. Now, this is the second New Orleans Shootout with the inaugural tournament taking place in 2014. The Spartans have won 3 straight games with home wins against Rhode Island and Quinnipiac. I always messed that up. I always messed that pronunciation up. And an overtime road victory over East Tennessee State. Michigan State has a 2-0 advantage in the overall series with USF. All right, Judy Putnam of the Lansing State Journal published an article today concerning former Michigan State men's basketball player Bryn Forbes, who is a rising NBA player with the NBA's own San Antonio Spurs. And, of course, he's a former Lansing Sexton High School graduate as well. And it's being reported that Forbes is in the midst of a custody battle of his two young sons in relation to the mother of his two sons, Raylan Taylor. Now, Taylor says that Forbes took the children from Michigan without her permission in June after their relationship failed. Forbes said he was worried about his son's well-being. Their sons are 4 and 1 years old. Now, Forbes, in an emailed statement, said he was disappointed that Taylor is speaking publicly about, quote, a very private matter, end quote. He cited concerns about her drinking, depression, and parenting skills. In June, he flew the kids to Texas to live with him, a move that she protested. Oh, that's an ugly story, right? All right. Olympic gold medal winning gymnast Michaela Maroney alleges in a lawsuit filed in Los Angeles, California yesterday that USA Gymnastics paid her to be quiet about abuse by the team's longtime doctor, Larry Nassar, of course, former Michigan State Gymnastics team Dr. Larry Nassar. The lawsuit in Los Angeles County Superior Court also names as defendants Michigan State University, the U.S. Olympic Committee, and Nassar, the former team doctor who has admittedly sexually abused underage girls. MSU spokesman James Cody said that Michigan State does not comment on ongoing litigation. No other athletes who leveled accusations against the 54-year-old Nassar were asked or compelled to sign confidential settlement agreements, according to Stu Molerich, a representative of the law firm behind Maroney's suit. All right, no other athletes, when it comes to Detroit Pistons, really had a good game other than a few for the Detroit Pistons. The Dallas Mavericks, last in the Western Conference, won for just the second time in 8 games while ending a 3-game Detroit winning streak that followed 7 straight losses by the Pistons. Anthony Tolliver led the Pistons with a season-high 18 points, 4 of 6 from 3-point range. Stanley Johnson also had a season-high 16 points, and Andre Drummond had 11 points, 3 rebounds while battling foul trouble. So the Pistons will try to move on from this one and will play the New York Knickerbockers at home this Friday night. And the wing will. The Philadelphia Flyers topped the Detroit Red Wings last night 4-3 on the road at Wells Fargo Center. The Red Wings will be at the Boston Bruins come this Saturday, a 1 p.m. puck drop. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to Facebook.com/current sports. We have the live stream up and running, and join us via Twitter. At Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Brother, let me apologize to you if I hurt you, that we haven't been together. And God is good to bring us back together. All right? I know, man. It hurt me too. Come here, man.
It's all good, baby. Okay? It's all good.
So much emotion. It's driving me mad. Yeah, but I'll take my chances with these feelings that I have. And I'll
Oh, man, that was such an emotional moment watching that. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Thursday. Happy holidays to all of you out there. A little Luther Vandross for you as we inch closer and closer to Christmas Day. Just 4 days now until, of course, December 25th. Hit your calendar. Hope you're having a great one to you and yours. On behalf of Current Sports, what a moment, though. I wanted to start by addressing the NBA TV special. The players-only special centered on Lansing's own former Michigan State hoop greats, Los Angeles Lakers basketball legend. And, you know, for me, you know, if I had a Mount Rushmore in which I had to choose four of the greatest players in basketball history, Irvin Magic Johnson would be on my Mount Rushmore, without a doubt. But Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas have had such an interesting relationship throughout their playing career. You know, I mean, these are two brothers who actually used to kiss on the cheek before games. You know, and it was so cool watching this special on NBA TV as the two sat down and just kind of reminisced. It was like listening to two cats who have accomplished so much just at the bar, just talking about and telling stories of just some of their favorite moments together. And one of my favorite moments happened to be when they talked about how they actually went on tour with the Jackson 5, one of my favorite music groups of all time. But Magic and Isaiah were on tour with Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, Jermaine, Tito, the whole gang. And, you know, they were there at rehearsals and there at shows and how that moment inspired them to become better basketball players. That was a really, really cool snippet. But the entire thing was just so intriguing. But, you know, the part of that sit down that everybody's talking about, I'm pretty sure many of you have seen it. We just played the snippet from it there as both Magic and Isaiah just got very emotional and were drawn to tears. When an apology was issued from Magic, you know, saying, hey, man, if I've hurt you in any way, you are my brother. I'm sorry. And the two got up, hugged and just tears. It's really hard. When I first saw it, man, I got like, you know, you get the little lump in your throat. I try so hard. You know, when I watch movies, I'm kind of like a teddy bear. All right. When I watch movies, some I don't know if you're like this, Ian, but some movies, man, I get so emotional when watching. You know, I get that lump in my throat. You know what I mean? You won't find me bawling watching a very sad movie. But I tell you what, I do get the lump in the throat. And watching that, it was really hard not to feel some type of way. You know, and it's so crazy when looking at, you know, this friendship with Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson, you know, this really became like a 20-year feud. You know, if you go back to when these two played in a pair of very heated and memorable NBA finals back in 1988 and 89, you know, Magic actually, it came out in Magic's book that he was one of the players that kept Isaiah Thomas off the 1992 Dream Team that competed in the Olympics. Many people believe that you look at that 92 Dream Team, that was the greatest basketball team ever assembled. But you know what? It did miss one piece. Isaiah Thomas should have been on that team. And Magic, it's believed that Magic was one of the players that kept Thomas off the team because he believed that Isaiah Thomas helped spread a rumor that Magic Johnson was a gay man. Now, in 2009, Thomas had this to say to Sports Illustrated about the rumors. He went on to say, quote, "Let me put it to you this way. If he and I were such close friends, if I was questioning his sexuality, then I was questioning mine, too. That's how idiotic it was." Thomas also spoke to ESPN back in 2009 and said that he had no part in spreading a rumor like that. But nonetheless, Magic published it in his book that he believed that Thomas did help spread that rumor and that nobody wanted Isaiah Thomas on the Dream Team. And, you know, it was a very idiotic beef. I mean, is there such thing as a smart beef? I mean, come on. Very idiotic. And, you know, it was just so cool to watch these two sit down. And you knew the moment. You know, I was wondering if the moment was going to come where somebody was going to issue an apology. And when it came, man. And I think the reason why you saw these two incredible figures of the sporting world, why they broke down into tears so hard was because they realized that so many years have passed where they could be spending time with one another, you know, hanging out with one another's families, you know, going on vacation, you know, keeping that friendship strong. But I think I thought Isaiah made a really, he hit it out the ballpark when he talked about the friendship between those two. You know, when you see something like that, I mean, two powerful black men at that, and Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson sitting down to squash something so nonsensical like that, it has a ripple effect. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people watched that moment and said, man, and probably, you know, thought about their own life and maybe some people in their life that they have cut off or have a dispute with for some stupid reason and said, you know what, maybe I need to make a phone call. That's the ripple effect that I'm seeing with this. I mean, I know for me, when I watched those two embrace last night, I said, man, you know, because I got a homie back in Detroit who I grew up with, and we've just kind of fallen out, you know, taking different paths here and there, man. And I know after I watched it, you know, I felt compelled to shoot him a message and say, hey, man, how you doing? How you holding up? It's been a long time. Especially, it's around the holiday season. I thought this interview was very timely. It's around the holiday season. You know, if you got somebody in your life that's been on your mind and that you know you have fallen out with due to some idiotic reason, give them a call because life is way too short. And, you know, to relate this also to another beef in the basketball world that is pretty, you know, and this has a local tie. I mean, when you look at Magic, I mean, from Lansing, went to Michigan State, brought Michigan State a national championship. I mean, he has a local tie right here to Mid-Michigan. And then Isaiah Thomas played for the Detroit Pistons for many years, brought back-to-back championships in the late 80s for the red, white, and royal blue fans. You know, these are two players that have direct ties to the state, to Lansing. And then you look at, you know, the school down the road, not too far from here out in Ann Arbor. We all know about the Fab Five. If you don't know, now you know. I mean, for all you young pups out there that don't know about the Fab Five, I mean, they were such a compelling squad that really made a big impact on hoops culturally and beyond. And, you know, the Fab Five, they were the first ones to really start rocking, you know, the kind of like the baggy shorts. They were the first ones to rock the black socks with the black shoes. Nobody was doing that before the Fab Five. And, you know, they were so close. You know, this is an iconic Michigan team. Now, I know we're here in Sparty land, but you can't deny that this was an iconic Michigan men's basketball team that went to two straight NCAA finals in 1992 and 1993. And they were so close. They were like brothers. They came just short. For those who have seen the Fab Five documentary, that 30 for 30 production, it's outstanding. Ian Hawley, have you seen that 30 for 30, the Fab Five edition, 30 for 30? I'm pretty sure you've watched that, right?
Yeah, I've watched that one.
How good was that, right?
So good. So good. Man. They did a really good job. I think all the 30 for 30s do a really good job with the stories that they're trying to tell.
Without a doubt.
Just with how many people that they talked to who were either there or like family members or just whatever the case may be, even like workers from whatever building they may happen to be talking about, like the one that they did at the Garden.
Right.
That one was really good, too.
That was really good. I mean, it's hard to find a bad 30 for 30 documentary, right? And I must say, you talk about the Fab Five. Speaking of five, that Fab Five documentary makes my top five 30 for 30 documentaries. It's so good, so compelling. But you know who was missing from that documentary?
Who's that?
Chris Webber. Chris Webber, Detroit's own Chris Webber, who was a part of that team, so instrumental to that team. Chris declined to be a part of the documentary because he is still holding on to a beef with Jalen Rose and other members of that squad. And I don't believe that Jalen or Chris have spoken since that moment. And, you know, actually during an appearance on the Dan Patrick Show, Webber was asked if he enjoyed the documentary because he watched it. And after a brief pause, this is what Chris had to say. Quote, "I love the guys, but I think there's so much missed in there. But I think it was okay. Except I think it looked like, you know, what happens." I don't know what that means, but continuing the quote here. Quote, "A lot of people, after they retire or when they are looking for a job or when they want to be relevant, they go back in time and kind of make sure their importance is really known." Chris goes on to say, "My thing is, it's always been about us five. And so when one guy has a million highlights of himself, as if he was the leading scorer, when like all the stories are like embellished, it's just a little hard for me. But I think it was entertaining. There was a lot of truth in it. And I think it was definitely good. It was okay. Yeah, it was good." End quote. That's what Chris Webber had to say. That was his review of the Fab Five documentary, which he was not a part of. He declined to be interviewed. He declined to comment on that moment. And to this day, I believe that people won't even bring up the whole timeout situation in which Michigan didn't have a timeout. And, you know, if I don't know, Chris had like a mental blunder, didn't realize that they were out of timeouts. He runs to the sideline. He calls a timeout. They get a technical. They end up losing and don't go to a national championship. That's still a really sour moment for him. But Jalen and Chris, they just have not gotten along. And you know what? We've got a bite I want to roll in right now, because after watching Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas make up and embrace the way they did on NBA TV on that Players Only special, Jalen Rose saw it, and on his podcast entitled The Jalen and Jacoby Show, Jacoby Jones is the co-host of that podcast. Jalen Rose had this to say.
"Magic and Isaiah called out C-Will and myself,
yep,
to reconcile, to see eye to eye, and to be on the same page. But I have to say something that I don't truly think people understand that has taken place under the Fab Five dynamic and us not necessarily seeing eye to eye. It's not that I and Chris Webber aren't seeing eye to eye. It's that four of us are seeing eye to eye, and when you see the Fab Five documentary, he doesn't contribute. When you see us at the Final Four, we're sitting together, and he's not with us. Do we need to squash it? Of course. It's silly. It's dumb. We never had a true argument. Now, there have been times when I've seen him out publicly, and he tried to slander and be rude to me, but I just kept it moving. And like those two gentlemen, we've been friends for so very long that everything that I've accomplished and or vice versa, we both have bricks in that building. We both have made sacrifices for the other one to be in a position to be successful as we are today. We deserve it as individuals. The Fab Five, the supporters, and the fans deserve it. But more importantly, our hometown, Detroit, deserves it. So many people that look like us have not learned to resolve confrontation and have a resolution that doesn't end in violence. And that this situation deserves for that to happen. My heart is open. My head is open. I wait for the day to take place."
What are you waiting for?
I've reached out. I've extended an olive branch. But like you saw in that video, it takes two people to reconcile. It takes, in our case, multiple people who, for whatever reasons, aren't seeing eye to eye to reconcile.
So, Jalen, I know you're not a crier, but when you and Chris Webber finally do what Magic and Isaiah did, you going to drop a tear, little one?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe so. That is my brother. I do love him. We shall see.
Well, we shall.
Yes, we shall. So you know what? And you know, it's been a relationship that has been strained for far too long. And these two cats are not getting any younger. And I think it will have a similar impact. If these two were to make up the way Magic and Isaiah did, it would have the similar kind of trickle-down effect that I think though watching those two do that will have. We're gonna have a creative twist on today's Current Sports. What I want to do is, you know, what we usually do here on Current Sports, when we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Michigan State men's basketball game, we usually throw out a trivia question, right? Well, that's become very, very easy because in the digital age that we live in, it's become very easy to crack open your laptop, do a quick Google, and boom, you got the answer. So what I want to do is, if, you know, for those listening out there, if you had a chance to speak to Jalen Rose and Chris Webber, if they were sitting in front of you, what would you say to both of them to try and get them to squash their beef, to get them to realize that life is far too short, let bygones be bygones, make up, and get back to the brotherhood? What would you say to those two individuals? I want you to call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. The individual that has the best mentorship talk with those two athletes will win a pair of tickets to check out tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans will play host to Long Beach State. Again, what would you say? And we'll have our very own engineer, Ian Hawley, actually vote on the best spiel. Best spiel wins. All right. All you got to do is call in. If you had Jalen Rose and Chris Webber right in front of you, what would you say to those two individuals to help them squash the far too long beef that they have had? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome live here in Studio West my man, Ryan Cole, sports director for Impact Sports. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. To WKAR's Current Sports, I am your man, Al Martin, right here live on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We just spent segment A discussing the Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas beef getting squashed on NBA TV's Players Only special. Really cool to watch those two embrace after years going by in which they have had a strained relationship, a very emotional moment. I had the lump in my throat. I must admit, I did have the lump in my throat when watching that moment, a very emotional moment. And, you know, we talked about the Jalen Rose and Chris Webber beef that has been certainly well documented over the years. And you heard Jalen Rose on his show, the Jalen and Jacoby podcast, discussing how he does want to squash the beef between him and Chris Webber. It's been strained for a long time. A lot of that has to do with just plain old ego tripping, as well as, you know, the whole Ed Martin U of M basketball scandal, to be honest with you. So there are so many dynamics to it, but at the end of the day, life is way too short. So we want you guys to call in, and I want to know, and again, the best spiel, Ian Hawley, engineer of Current Sports, will be judging the best spiel. If you had to talk, if you had the opportunity to have Jalen Rose and Chris Webber right there in front of your face, what would you say to those two grown men when it comes to squashing their beef. Best spiel wins. And I do believe we have two callers right now, right, Ian? We've got John on line one, Patrick on line two. So we'll start with John. John on line one, welcome to Current Sports.
Hi, Al.
How are you doing, my man? Are you ready? So, again, you heard our proposal here. Best spiel wins two tickets to check out tonight's men's basketball game against Long Beach State. If Chris Webber and Jalen Rose were in front of you, what would you say, John?
I think the model is pretty much what Magic did, to be able to say, how can you guys be able to say we've been jerks, we miss each other, we love each other, and it's time to move on together.
I love that. Short, sweet, and to the point. My man, John. John, make sure to give your information to Ian, and we'll be in contact with you after the show if you win the tickets, all right? Great stuff, John. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks.
All right, line two. Patrick, my man Patrick. First off, how are you doing, my friend? Welcome to Current Sports.
Wonderful. You?
I am great. All right, Patrick, if Jalen Rose and Chris Webber were in front of you, what would you say to those two men to get them to reconcile their differences?
My presentation would go something like this. I would sit down with these two fine gentlemen and simply explain that some of us are more insecure than others. And in life, it's important to be kind, and let's just get this behind us. Let the ego go. Let go of the ego and be humble. The insecure person cannot let it go. They're going to go on, possibly do other things and escalate this. So, again, let's get this behind us. Be humble. Let the ego go. And, do not be afraid to apologize. Some people in life don't really realize why we are here. We're basically a body with a spirit in it. And, some of us believe in, reincarnation. The more lessons that we can be successful with in life is going to help us in the long run in the grand scheme of things. So, again, do not be afraid to apologize. Let this go. You gentlemen will feel much better when this is completed. Thank you.
My man, Patrick. You got me tearing up here a little bit, man. Thank you so much, Patrick.
You're welcome.
Fantastic. Be sure to give your information to our engineer, Ian Hawley, behind the glass. That's great stuff.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Again, we are giving away a pair of men's basketball tickets, Michigan State men's basketball tickets, as Tom Izzo's Spartans will play host to Long Beach State tonight at 7 p.m. inside the friendly confines of the Breslin Center. We'll make your earn them like we usually do here on Current Sports. And today we're asking you guys to call in. If you have the opportunity to talk with Jalen Rose and Chris Webber, what would you say to those two men to get them to squash their beef? Great stuff from both John and Patrick. If you want to call in and provide your own motivational talk, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Our own engineer, Ian Hawley, will be judging these spills. So, Ian, he's got a smirk behind the glass. I don't know who's leading right now, but we'll announce it near the end of the show. How's that sound, Ian?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is now live in studio with me, Ryan Cole, Sports Director for Impact Sports. He's been doing a fantastic job, and this is long overdue because I actually met Ryan through two mutual connections with WKAR's Current Sports.
That's right.
One of those being, of course, Jason Ruff, who covers Michigan State hockey for Impact Sports, and also our very own intern, Jacob Herbert, who's done an outstanding job with us. And Jacob, of course, is now graduated. And Ryan, you have been doing a fantastic job. I believe we met on the golf course, right?
I was going to say, yeah, you, the humble man, of course, were going to ignore the golf course thing because you kicked my butt, so.
Stop. No, I tell you what, that was a fun time being out there, though, right?
It was a blast, absolutely.
Oh, boy, I wish the weather was a bit nicer so we can get out there and swing a few right now, but hey.
It'll be spring soon enough, man.
Preach on, brother. All right, Ryan, well, I tell you what, you were present at, of course, yesterday morning's Michigan State football press conference. It was a dual press conference as both Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, addressed the 20 signees to his program now, the first time we've seen an early signing period in the world of college football. And the second half of that presser, I had to dip out, of course, to do current sports. But Mark D'Antonio also gave us a bit of a preview of the Michigan State and Washington State Holiday Bowl game, which will be taking place next week, Thursday at 9 p.m. I want to start with signing day, though. I went through the press release on the show yesterday, kind of gave my thoughts on a few players, and I'm excited to see. But just overall, what are a few of your takeaways from this new Michigan State football signing class?
Right, and this, Al, it really seems like it goes back to Mark D'Antonio's roots of recruit the Midwest. 9 players from Ohio, 6 players from Michigan. That's 15 out of 20 just from 2 states. And obviously, you have so many high-profile programs that you're competing against in the Midwest: Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Penn State, of course, recruiting very well now under James Franklin. So it's very important for Mark D'Antonio to poach the Midwest, especially the state of Ohio, a talent-rich state that he knows very well.
Definitely.
And obviously Michigan, you gotta recruit your home turf.
Without a doubt. So when looking at the 20 signees for the team, I mean, who are a few players, I should say, that you are really looking forward to that could possibly come in right out the gates and make an immediate impact on this team?
Right, and I look at the defensive back position, actually, as Michigan State's starting to try to get that no-fly zone moniker back, getting it going. Kalen Gervin from Detroit is the top recruit, second-best recruit in the state of Michigan, according to a lot of different recruiting services. He's either 1 or 2. So it's obviously big for Michigan State to hold off Jim Harbaugh and Michigan in getting one of the top recruits in the country, or in the state, excuse me. And then Xavier Henderson as well. I asked Harlan Barnett about him. He's a defensive backs coach. He will start off at safety. He's listed kind of as an athlete coming in.
Right.
But I really like him. He's out of Reynoldsburg, Ohio, and Pickerington Central. They really got to shorten these high school names, guys.
Don't they?
I mean,
I tell you, make our job easier, right?
Really, exactly. Yeah. Give me high school A, high school B. Yeah. But yeah, and he's one of 2 players to come in from that high school to Michigan State this year. So, yeah, I mean, as far as the highly recruited guys, guys that had offers from a lot of other high-profile schools, those are kind of the guys I look at, Gervin and Henderson.
Now, this is the first time we've seen an early signing period in the world of college football. I got a 2-parter for you. First question, Ryan, when it comes to the early signing period, do you like it, yay or nay, and why? And also, what do you think is on Michigan State's radar as, of course, the final period comes to a close in early February?
Right, and I'll answer that one first, actually, because Mark D'Antonio talked about it in his press conference. He said that they still have a couple spots open, and he actually made kind of a plea out there to defensive linemen.
Yeah.
He basically said, hey, if you're a defensive lineman, we're looking for you. He basically flat out said
and
that.
And his phone went off,
His phone went off, exactly. His phone went off later in the press conference, and he goes, must be a defensive lineman. I mean, everyone thinks Mark D'Antonio, this stoic guy, stone face, whatever, but he had a little jab, little sense of humor there.
He's a funny guy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the national pundits that look at, you know, Mark on the sideline, and if they, you know, they watch a few snippets from his presser, they don't really get the full feel of who Mark D'Antonio is as a person.
Oh,
he is very funny and very witty.
The dry sense of humor gets me every time. It just gets me.
Definitely.
That was one of those great human moments of the press conference.
Certainly, yeah.
But yeah, in regards to the national signing day, the early signing period, I think it's really great, and it seems like, you know, Mark D'Antonio laid this out yesterday in the press conference. It benefits both sides. It benefits the school. It benefits the student-athlete. Mm-hmm. And then now you've got these next couple months where you know, all right, this is kind of what we have to go looking for. And it's not going to really screw over the student-athlete late in the process if a school wants to get a commit from a higher-ranked guy, really.
Right.
Who they would obviously take to make their team better. But if there's a kid that committed, you know, 2-3 years in the past, they would pretty much pull the rug out from under that kid, and now he's kind of left off with nobody. So this really gets it out there where you recruit the guys and you get them to sign that want to be there.
Definitely.
And now you can fill the rest of your roster for the next couple months. You know what you're going out there and looking at. So it seems like all positives. The only negative, and I saw Urban Meyer talk about this yesterday for Ohio State, which I don't think many people have much sympathy for this situation, but he said it makes it a problem when you have guys that might go to the NFL, but you don't know yet until after bowl season.
So you have to play the guessing game a bit, right, and really pick their brains, the players that you currently have that have that potential to possibly make that professional football leap.
Exactly.
You got to really pick their brain to make sure if they're staying or leaving.
And it's really only a problem for the top, five programs in the country. You think of Alabama,
exactly.
Ohio State,
woe is
Clemson.
Me, right?
Yeah,
boo-hoo.
So sorry for Nick Saban in Alabama as he's, you know, putting his national championship rings on two hands. But you know what? I tend to agree with him, though. You know, it makes sense,
right?
Because you don't know if you're going to need to get one extra guy or get five extra guys to fill your roster and at what position as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that makes it difficult. But, I mean, again, don't really feel sorry for those kind of schools.
No, not at all. I mean, in Ohio State, you know, according to many recruiting services, you know, I looked at 247 Sports. That's the one I was referring to on my show yesterday.
Right.
Ohio State has the number one recruiting class in the entire nation. So.
They got jumped by, I think, Georgia and one of the other.
Oh, did they?
One of them. But they obviously, I mean, they recruit so well every year. And
every
this was
year.
No exception.
Without a doubt. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Ryan Cole, Sports Director for Impact Sports. He is live here in Studio S with us. So, you know, Ryan, when you look at what's about to take place next week, Michigan State in a bowl game after a one-year absence, going 3-9, and then, as Coach D'Antonio has been putting, flipping the script.
Flipped it.
Going 9-3 now, and you play a really good Washington State team on Thursday at 9 p.m. on the national scale. Now, Washington State will be without two of their, you know, top receivers, but this is still going to be a very competitive game. How do you evaluate this matchup, and what will this say about the Michigan State football program if they are able to get yet another season under Mark D'Antonio, in which they have hit double-digit win years?
Well, what it says is that it's a nationally elite program, and you go out and you hear Desmond Howard, I think he said on one of the College Game Day episodes this year, he said Michigan State's not a nationally relevant program. Actually, I think that was before the Michigan State game. So
yeah, it was.
We know what happened there, 14-10. But you know what? Mark D'Antonio has built Michigan State into a powerhouse in the Big Ten. It's just that simple. And this was a rebuilding year.
Right.
I said before the season, get to 6 wins, whatever else happens is a cherry on top, whatever, icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
9-3 in a rebuilding year?
Nobody saw that.
Next year is the year that they were building towards this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they go 9-3, they get the extra bowl practices, they're returning just about everybody. Michigan State is a force to come in the future in the Big Ten. Obviously, the Big Ten is so competitive, but they went out there and beat Michigan and beat Penn State this year,
mm-hmm.
had a bad game against Ohio State, but they have Ohio State at home next year. You've got Michigan coming at home next year. It sets up really well for Michigan State as far as the future and as far as the perception of
right.
the program.
And I tell you what, that Ohio State loss, even though it was really ugly, I mean, I've always said when Ohio State is mentally locked in, they can beat anybody in the country.
Oh, yeah.
They are that good. I don't know what, you know, they had that huge hiccup against Iowa earlier on in the year, and I'm sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, that was just a mental blunder.
That was like a week or two before that game. And
right.
So they came out and they were playing angry against Michigan State. They would have beaten anybody in the country by 20 that day.
I agree. I totally agree with you, Ryan. And now, when looking at this matchup against Washington State, this is going to be a really intriguing matchup because I tell you what, Coach Leach, Mike Leach, he loves to air that thing out. They are going to see multiple crossing routes, a lot of wheel routes, a lot of small dump-offs, a lot of confusion. The secondary is really going to have to be on its P's and Q's come this matchup. How do you evaluate that one, and what are the chances that we see a Spartan win come next week?
I think the chances of a Spartan win are pretty good. I mean, this is about as big of a toss-up as really any bowl game this year. Washington State and Michigan State actually have a lot of similarities. They both beat two ranked teams. They had a chance to get to a conference title game, lost late in the season, really. I mean, Washington State got blown out by Washington basically in a play-in game for the Pac-12 championship game. So,
right.
But and as Michigan State had that game against Ohio State, like we were saying. So
mm-hmm.
similarities really across the board for the teams. I think they both have ranked wins over two top 20 teams. So when it comes down to defending the pass, I mean, it really is the pass rush for me. Is you can't give the quarterback Falk a lot of time.
Right.
And that's really where it comes down to. And I'm thinking back to the Baylor game a few years ago, right? Where they aired out.
It was a crazy game, right?
They aired out for, 600 yards against the former no-fly zone. So,
right.
So as long as Michigan State's pass rush can get there, I think that creates more opportunities for the corners to really have a chance to intercept the ball or make a play on the ball. Because if you let Washington State get rhythm and give the quarterback time, they're going to throw it all over you.
Without a doubt. All right, Ryan, only a few minutes left here before we hit our final break and wrap up the show. But I do want to ask you about this year's Michigan State men's basketball team. Of course, the Spartans will play host to Long Beach State tonight. Michigan State, of course, ranked number 2 in the country. And this is a Tom Izzo team that is ranked 11-1 overall. But I tell you what, Ryan, you were at that game earlier this week when they took on Houston Baptist, even though it was a blowout, even though they reached triple digits in scoring. Tom Izzo was probably the most unhappy I've seen him throughout this young year so far. He was harping on the little things, and he said that there's a difference between just playing to win games and playing to win championships. How do you think Michigan State rebounds off of that Tom Izzo really not great performance in his eyes against Long Beach State tonight?
That was my favorite quote of that press conference. It really was. I mean, that goes to show his expectations for every single game. You have to have a championship mentality. Going into every single game with a championship mentality is very hard for any team across any sport.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to do it with 18 to 22-year-olds.
Right.
And guys who are being told they're so great, being told they're number 2 in the country, getting first place votes. It's a lot of it's an attitude thing with the guys. And these guys are they are willing to go out there and work. We hear about how great they practice. But it's going out in a game against a team that you're supposed to blow out. Long Beach State, another one of those teams. Mm-hmm. They have a losing record in the bottom 100 to 125 of the KenPom rankings. They're
right.
They're not supposed to come in and give Michigan State much of a battle.
Mm-hmm.
But Michigan State still has to play with their A game because every team they play is going to give them their A game.
Very true.
Michigan State is everybody's Super Bowl this year.
You can say that again. I mean, look, anybody can be beaten no matter what the competition. I mean, look at it last night. North Carolina got beat by Wofford.
Wofford.
What? I couldn't believe that. That was a 4-point win for Wofford. You got to come no matter. You can't play down to the competition. I think that's what Tom Izzo was trying to get this team to understand. And again,
right,
there's a lot of pressure because this team can legit be a national championship winner.
Absolutely.
Tom Izzo was looking at each and every game from a different lens than you and I, depending on the competition, right? All right, my man, Ryan Cole. Ryan, can you tell our listeners how they can follow you, how they can read your work, and so on?
It would be my pleasure, Al. And you can find me on Twitter at Ryan_Cole9. And that's pretty much, I'm going to flood your Twitter feed during basketball games, maybe some football games as well. And Al knows as well. So that's pretty much where you can find me. And then Impact Sports is at WDBM_sports. We are really putting out the best student coverage of all Michigan State sports. And it's been a blast there, and it's been a blast to be here on your show here, Al.
We got to have you back, man. This was fun stuff.
You got it.
My man Ryan Cole, he's doing a great job, and I think it speaks to his dedication that he's in here. And this week working, when, of course, classes ended last week, you're in here grinding, man, no matter what.
I've got so many people on my Snapchat that are posting, beach pics and everything. I've got people in Hawaii, Mexico, Florida, everything, and
you're grinding.
Hey, Long Beach State has to come up here and play in the cold, you know.
That's true.
They're used to that Long Beach weather down in California, so.
Right. We'll see how
they should play the game outside, and I think Michigan State would win by more.
Without a doubt. They'll probably win by, 60 points, right?
Oh, yeah.
If that happened.
Okay. Home court advantage.
My man, Ryan Cole, sports director for Impact Sports. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's show with Throwback Thursday. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with the one, the only, Ryan Cole, sports director for Impact Sports. Did you happen to tune in late and miss it? Well, you know that we post each and every podcast version of Current Sports right on our website
at WKAR.org, or you can all actually watch the live stream. Every live stream actually gets posted to our Facebook page at Facebook.com/Current Sports. So multiple ways in which you can listen to Current Sports if you happen to miss the entertaining hour from 1 to 2. All right, well, we have about 3 minutes left in the show. Let's hit you with Throwback Thursday. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history?
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, 2 minutes left in the hour. What happened on this particular date in sports history? It is December 21st on this day. Back in 1941, Ray McLean of the Chicago Bears performed a drop kick for an extra point in the NFL. The next one would not happen until Doug Flutie performed that same thing 61 years later. How about that? In 1951, Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. In 1975, John Riggins became the first New York Jets player to gain 1,000 yards. In 1975, George Blanda, in his final regular season game, became the first professional football player to reach 2,000 points. His total was 2,002 points over his 26-year career. In 1975, the Buffalo Sabres scored 8 goals in the third period against the Washington Capitals. The Sabres won the game 14-2. In 1980, Harold Carmichael ended his NFL streak of 127 consecutive game receptions. In 1981, Cincinnati defeated Bradley 75-73. And get this, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but 7 overtime periods. Wow. The game was the longest collegiate basketball game in the history of NCAA Division I competition. In 1983, the NBA's Indiana Pacers ended a 28-game losing streak. And in 1993, Shaquille O'Neal's, quote, "I know I got skills" single was certified gold by the RAAA. How about that? I guess Shaq has skills on the mic, huh? All right, folks, we'll see you same time, same place to close out the week before the Christmas holiday, 1 p.m. We'll see you then on Friday. I'm Al Martin reminding you to always be easy, people.